see in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
The loss to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died.
Praise the Father,
praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored.
And the church,
and the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit in the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint, but his blood and in his name, his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise
the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, forever to the King of Kings.
One more time. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King.
hope will cling to your promise. When my courage ends, let my heart find strength in your presence. I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. And I look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, for forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever, and forever I'll sing.
One more time.
Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, for forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever, forever I'll sing.
I'll walk through, and I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. And I'll look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. The ruins come to life in the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever and forever I'll sing. Let's pray for offering. Dear God, thank you for this year. Thank you for this wonderful year, whether it be one of those, might have been one of those worst years of our lives, or might have been one of the best, or might have been just an average year for all of us. But we thank you, God, for this year. We thank you for everything that happened this year, God. Right now, we pray for those who are either struggling right now, we pray for those who are sick, pray for those who long for you and want to seek you, God. We pray for these, for those worries that anybody has that will be lifted up to you, God. And we want to remember that you're here and that you're always here to listen to us and understand us, God. I pray for everyone here that is experiencing something right now or even nothing. God, I pray for your healing hand and your presence to be within them so that they can feel peace and comfort. As we continue to worship, God, we lift this offering up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
change to come. Knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still
stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. And seeing you move, I've moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way. There was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again.
My confidence, you've never failed me yet. You've never failed me yet.
Let's pray together. Thank you, God, that you have done great things in our lives. We can stand here, we can worship you, we can remember the things. But that doesn't just make us happy, but it drives us to something in the future. As this is the very end of this decade, we celebrate that. We remember the things. And today we might actually be able to share that together. But we pray, Lord, that you would motivate us to be different because of them. You don't bless us for our sake, but for the sake of the body of Christ and for yours. So help us, Lord, as we discover life together here, as we share together. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated. I have a quick announcement from the one called Corliss about Panama.
Hello. All right. So yes, it's that time of year again where we're starting to do registrations for Panama, the short-term mission to Panama. Cyrus, I'm just going to leave this here. All right. So this year it's going to be from May 29th to June 8th. The deadline for registration will be January 26th. So I would love to share a whole lot more about Panama, but I don't have that time here. So there will be an information meeting right after this service in room 212. Just come up and we can talk. If you can't make that, you can always send me an email and I can answer any questions or maybe even set up a meeting with you if you want to know more. And so yeah, thank you.
Good morning. Excellent. Good to see most of you awake today. Some of you are still in holiday mode, I can tell. There's still a little sleep and slumber in your soul. There's a lot going on today. I want to prepare your hearts with this idea. We're going to be sharing. Today, we're going to have some of you actually grab this microphone and share what God's been doing this year. So I want to inspire you with the message today. And yeah, there's a lot going on. I have, for the past month, every year at this time, about 2 months' worth of coughing. So every once in a while, I may stop and cough. I have a doctor in the audience. Hopefully, they'll come and help me out if that's necessary. So we'll do our best today. One of our young adults a couple weeks ago had a birthday. And one of the questions that we asked him is, how has God been active, or what is a highlight of the past year? And to me, it was a question that brings me back to God. What has he been doing? What has been changing and growing in you? What are the ups and downs? What are the great days, the hardships, the laughing, the lamenting? It's a question of reflection, remembering. What has he done? And I've gone through hard times in the time of, and during that time of struggle, in the very moment of hardship, I really wasn't thinking about the big picture and how God's going to redeem this and grow me as a whole. But reflecting on it later, with questions like this, I can see God's hand, and the appropriate response to what God has done is to worship. As the year 2019 draws to a close, we have to ask ourselves, where have I seen God in the past year? I've got three questions, actually, and they look kind of like this. Here we go. Where have you seen God this year? How have you grown? And how can you worship God with his story in your life? How has your world and your faith changed in the past 363 days since January 1st, 2019? What did God take you through to make you who you are today? I'm actually less interested in the regurgitation of sermons that you've heard or new songs that you've heard or sung, but rather discovering the impact that God has had in your life because of these experiences and these lessons? What does your changed life look like? What has God done in your life in this past year? If you want even the bigger picture, 2019, if you haven't figured out, that's this year. 2020 happens in 61 hours from now. I actually counted. 61 hours, we're counting down. What has God done for you in the past decade? That's an even bigger picture. And it's interesting to imagine, wow, God's done so much. And as this decade closes, we have to ask this question, what is God's story in our lives? What did he do in 2010 to 2019? As I mentioned before, today I want to challenge you not only to be introspective, but to be active. Seeing God's work in your life demands a response. And we will take that time today to think about this past decade, to worship God by sharing his story. That last song we sang, Do It Again, implies that God did something to begin with. What was that? What would you hope to see God do in your life again? Because it was like, wow, that was great. I loved it when God did that. God, please, do it again. We want to hear that story. I want to prepare your heart for that chance to share. We'll begin to have the microphone roaming around, and you'll have a chance. And if you don't have a chance today in this setting, there'll be other chances as well. First, I need to bring you to you my final teaching from the scriptures for this year. This is the idea. The story of your faith is not about you. Your story of faith is not about you. I have 3 points in this. Your story of faith brings you to worship. Really, it's God's story. It's his story. And my response when I realize what God's been doing helps me see his sovereignty. He's been in control. And he brings me to worship and thankfulness. I've helped many people prepare their testimonies, their stories. Usually before a baptism, they sit with me and I find out, what is their story? What's God done in their life? They usually say, it's not very exciting. It's actually quite boring. And I'm like, I'm not convinced. And then they tell me their story. And it's okay. It's a good story. And we work through the message. And they print it off, and they practice it, and they come up here, and when they share it, something changes in them. When they practice with me, they read the whole story, it was like, okay, yeah, that's great. But when they share it from this point, something changes. Their emotion, there's excitement. Sometimes they're actually moved to tears. And that didn't happen before, and I don't know why, but I can only speculate that once you share from this point, you realize how much God actually is working. And it's quite a powerful moment. When we practice our sharing, it's different. When we actually share it from here, the world changes. And you actually see God's hand in your life. If you're the sort that thinks God's story in your life isn't exciting, and you probably shouldn't share it, I believe that that's what the devil wants you to think. The focus should be less on how exciting the story is, but really how good God is. You think of it, God has moved in your life. The creator of heaven and earth has moved in your life. And really, that's the most exciting story of you of all time. It doesn't matter if there's no fire and brimstone, no rainbows and lightning. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's obedient enough to take a step of faith, even a small step, and for God to show up in some way. And usually God shows up in a still, small voice. And that simplicity is significant. And I want you to be hanging on to that, because for you, that is your powerful moment, that God meets you. I'm looking for someone who took a step closer to Jesus and did something, whether that thing is simple or significant. Usually we diminish the value of his story because we think that what God has done is actually insignificant. Or maybe we don't want to see the value in God's work because we believe that we're the ones that are insignificant. But neither is true. God has moved in your life, and both of you are important to him, and his work has great value and purpose. Like I said, I'm challenging you to share today. But sharing doesn't always have to happen in this context in which you have to stand here and there's a microphone. There's different ways to share. Some of you are introverts like myself. I am an introvert. I don't like to be here. I'd rather be down there and Perry up here. But today he's on vacation, which forces me to, you know. But I prefer actually to share in smaller groups. Maybe you're that way. Maybe you prefer to be one-on-one. That's your way to share. Great. But maybe you're a different person. Instead of smaller groups, one-on-one, maybe you're preferring one-on-none. You're the sort that actually prefers to write and write to someone and just hope that they would read it and understand. This is my challenge as well for some of you that God has moved, for you to actually write it down, for you to remember, because that person that you might be writing to could be you in 1 year's time or you in 10 years' time. As you look back and you realize, God was active. God was doing some great things. God was answering prayer. And those are powerful moments as we come back and we see God doing great things. We have a snapshot because we wrote it down. That could be a very powerful and holy moment. Some of you have things like a prayer journal. It's an idea that you write down the things that you've been praying for. And maybe a couple of months or weeks, days later even, you might look back and realize, God's been answering these prayers. Those are God moments. Those are the times when you say, God, do that again. Thank you for that. What is the story of God in your life? I want you to share that today with either someone, all of us, or your future self. Oops. When you remember and tell God's story in your life, we are brought to worship. We thank God for what he's done. I want you to think, don't deny him the worship he deserves because you're shy or you don't know how to express it yet. Share your story. Give him thanks for what he's done. Number two, your story of faith inspires others. We tend to see our personal relationship with God and think of it as only two individuals that matter, me and God. And that's it. It tends to stop there. But we are designed to be in community, in fellowship. Your story of faith inspires others. Paul starts his letter to the Romans with this greeting in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 11 and 12. Here it is. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I long to see you, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Imagine this idea. Paul is writing to the people in Rome. They're believers. And he says, I've been hearing about you. Other people have been talking about your faith. That's an amazing thing to think about. Imagine this story. Somebody's heard about you and your faith somewhere else, whether it's Hong Kong, China, other parts of Canada, and people are encouraged to live differently because of what you've done. This is what happens when the body of Christ starts sharing their story. People are encouraged. And I know some of the stories I've heard, because I'm the pastor, I get to hear things. And some of those stories I actually pass to other people, and they are encouraged by your faith. They don't even know the name. But it's so neat when they are inspired by the people in my church. You can be that person. Think of it, the next part as well. Paul longs to meet with the believers in Rome so he can encourage them, and the Romans can turn around and mutually encourage him. He anticipates being encouraged by his friends. He wants to see them, to hear their stories for himself. It begs the question, do we have the same longing when we're getting ready to come to church or small group or fellowship? Do we have this longing to see each other and be encouraged by each other's faith? Like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to see Cyrus. I haven't seen him for a long time. He's been in Edmonton hiding, doing his own work. But I wonder how he's grown. There is a longing in my heart when I see this guy and when I don't see him as well. Do you have a longing for the people in your church or your fellowship or small group, eagerly anticipating to hear their story and to reciprocate that, to mutually encourage them, say, oh, I can't wait to tell them my God story. I'm going to actually jump a little bit because I have a group of young adults who help me with my youth leadership. And we have a WhatsApp group. Whenever something comes up, I am quick to share with them what was going on with me and how they can pray for me or what God's been doing. And I'm just eagerly anticipating. So I write it. And it's one of the most inspiring things to see them reciprocate and write things. God's been doing these things, or pray for me. This is what God does. God inspires us through the body of Christ with our story. Your story of faith inspires others. On the flip side, I've had one young adult who left for university in a different city, and they returned a whole degree later. 4 years of growth in a new school, new home, new church, new fellowship, new challenges, new growing, new life, new struggles, new faith, and to become a new person after 4 years. But very few people ask questions about it. And it was actually kind of discouraging for her. It was discouraging that she grew and God did great things and no one seemed to care. The sad truth is that we're discouraged when God does a change in our life. God shows up, but ironically, the body of Christ doesn't seem to care about it. And here's my challenge. Consider whenever you meet with other believers as an opportunity to share your faith and for the body to encourage you. We often challenge ourselves. That phrase, share your faith, means to find people that don't believe. I think we need to be challenged to actually find people who do believe and share our faith too. We don't do that. I don't know why. When God moves in your life, start getting ready for how you're going to share it. Email, phone call, text, show up Sunday. Grab someone by the collar and tell them. And this is what the body of Christ is designed to do. Yet we tend to miss out on it because we're less like the early church. They met every day. We're more private in our North American culture and lifestyle. And that's spilled out into our faith. Your faith story inspires others. Share your faith. Number three, your story of faith gives hope for the future. When we see what God has done in the past, it gives us hope for the future. When troubles and difficulties come, we know that God's pulled through and that he has been faithful. We need to remind ourselves that God is good and these stories uphold what we know in the head, but sometimes we forget in our own heart. Hebrews 11 identifies people in the Old Testament, and some of them are just average people, unspectacular, but all of them took steps of faith in a supernatural God, and it changes the course of history. The chapter itself is called the Hall of Faith, and it speaks about people's faith of being simple, yet impactful. I'm going to read to you a big portion of that whole chapter, but actually not even the whole one. It's a huge chapter. But I'm going to read to you from the version of the Bible called The Message, because it sounds different. It sounds a little bit more like a story. Hope I can survive. Hebrews 11. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It is what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of a reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. By faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was as ready to return to the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this after he had already been told, "Your descendants shall come from Isaac." Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead. In a sense, that's what happened when he received Isaac back, alive from off the altar. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls fell flat. By faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I can go on and on, but I've run out of time. There's so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Though the acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions' fires and sword thrust, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved, abused, and whips. And yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, and powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best as they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith, not complete apart from ours. A massive passage, but it's about the story. If you learn through the Bible and all the people who live in the faith before us, you'll recognize some of these names. And there are many missing that I had to skip and cut from the passage. But the point is this: these people lived a faith in the very same God as you do, albeit a different area, but the same God. When we hear their story of faith, it inspires us to have hope in the future. Their stories don't exist just for historical records, but also for your faith to become stronger. Their faith and our faith will come together to make one completed whole. Our faith with those in the Bible give us hope for the future. As I mentioned before, this past year I was blessed by my own small group of young adults who surround me and share their faith in struggles. I'm encouraged by their faith. We share struggles, success. Often, sometimes we talk about youth ministry. Yeah, that's one portion of it. But also every other aspect of life, work, school, relationships, health, faith. We pray for each other. We confess to each other. We build each other up. We open up and ask each other the hard questions. It's been a growing time for me with these young people, and when I would not be in this place in my life this year without them, without that fellowship, I am changed because of them. Whenever I share a struggle against sin or life and sickness, they pray for me. They remind me that God is behind it all and he's working it still. They'll encourage me with their own story, knowing that God's been faithful with mine. Our faith together gives each other hope for the future. When I was preparing this message last night, I had done it all, closed the books. And this morning, I had to continue reading. And I stumbled upon what's after Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12. Wow. It comes with this. Do you see what this all means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, and whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Again, this is the Message version. It's a little bit different than what you might remember in Hebrews 12. It doesn't talk about adrenaline. I don't think they discovered that yet. But it's imagining the idea. There's a story that God wants you to know. It's his story. And it's in your life. And it's in the life of the believers around you. And that inspires you to live for the future. And it gives hope. Your story of faith is not about you. Your story of faith brings you to worship. Your story of faith inspires others, and your story of faith gives hope for the future. What is his story in your life? We've come to the end of my message, but more importantly, for you to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I have some people prepared. I think I have my Robin Dorcas, they're over there. My Don is over here. But I know some of you are itching to share what God's done. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I want you to be thinking with these reflective questions as we go through these things. Consider any one of these questions. Where have you seen God this year? How have you grown? And how can you worship God with his story in your life? Okay? Let me pray for us for a moment as we prepare our hearts for what's going to go on. We thank you, God, for the good things you've given us. Life, faith. And some of us had great victory this year. And may we be encouraged by those victories. For those of us who have not had those victories, may we see what you've done and know that you are still the same God and you're living and active in us in this very room. And we can pray for each other and lift each other up and tell your story, his story, and be inspired. Meet us, we pray in your holy name. Amen. Can I have my Robin Dorcas come up? Excellent. Who shall be the spokesperson? All right. So what has happened this year that has been challenging for you? Local one?
Hello?
It is on.
Hello? Is it on? Okay. Is it good? Okay, perfect. So for like the last year and a half, I've been struggling with arrhythmia, so my heart has been beating kind of like off rhythm, and they did the Holter monitor and all that, and they said it was beating 40% more like irregularly than it was supposed to. So I remember it was July 2018 when it first started, and I was just playing with Grace and I was taking care of her, and I just kind of like all of a sudden I just like, I'm so tired, I need to sleep, I can't do anything. But Rob was not home, and it was just me and Grace, so I was like, I don't know what to do, so I just lay down. And then when Rob came back, he just saw me just laying there. I was like, I can't move. I don't know what to do. And then so he brought me to the emergency room, and that's when we found out I had all these extra beats. And then in short, the doctor said all these beats were kind of messing with my heart rhythm, and it made me more tired, and I was really tired to an extent like that I couldn't even get up in the morning sometimes, and I get these chest tightness that for the year and a half I just couldn't sleep at night. Like all night I would wake up several times and I'll have a hard time falling back asleep, and so that really kind of ruined my whole year and a half. But I was pretty thankful that I didn't have to wait that long to see the cardiologist. So God had a plan that through all this time, I was able to see like three different cardiologists. And I had a surgery done back in August, but it didn't work. But in 3 months, they were able to reschedule another one. So I think God has been showing me that, like, even though that plans don't work out that I think it would work out, but he's there, and I think we just have to trust that he is, he's in charge of everything. So that's kind of from my point of view.
From my point of view, it's a very tough time for our family. So when it initially happened, Grace was just 1.5 years old, and I kept saying to other people who were asking me how I was doing, like, oh, I wish it was happening to me, because, you know, like, a kid really needs their mom at that age, and it was a big struggle. Like Dorcas was saying, like, there's lots of times she'd be pale as a ghost, and she'd just be lying in bed all morning, and I luckily have a very understanding boss who let me work from home or just didn't work when I didn't have to, but yeah, it was a very trying time.
How has it grown or challenged you, Rob, in your faith?
I think initially the way I dealt with it was just a lot of crying. So for the first 2 weeks, every day I work downtown, for those of you who don't know, I would just go for a walk and walk around and cry like a crazy person and then go back to work. Then I think maybe what God was trying to teach me was that, like, these things are totally out of your control. And I could do my best and, like, take care of Grace when Dorcas couldn't. And I could wake up early and get Grace ready for the day and all that stuff so that Dorcas can sleep in. I could help out more around the house. But besides that, I can't physically heal Dorcas, and we just have to wait. So I had to grow in my faith and just leave it all up to God, because I didn't have any other choice.
That's right. And well, 3 weeks ago, approximately, I think it was, that you had your most recent surgery, and things are...
So this last surgery, it was on December 11th, and it was actually successful this time, that now I feel so much lighter, and I have most of my energy back. I'm still sore here and there, but it's been good. I'm just like, but I think God has been teaching me that, like, I should celebrate now, but then if it comes back, because it could come back within, I won't know for sure until, like, probably in a few months. So, but if it comes back, I just have to trust that he is in control, and we just have to do the surgery again.
Do it again.
Part of the reason why I wanted to share was because when something like this amazing thing happens, we want to praise God and give all glory to God. And secondly, we had like an army of people praying for Dorcas, and I really, really appreciated that. And all the people in this room who pray for Dorcas, thank you very much.
Indeed. I have my Don coming. He dressed up for this occasion. I've been working with Don forever, and he's one of my young men who left over to somewhere in the Far East to go to university.
London, Ontario.
And life has changed. How so?
What do you want to know?
What do I want to know? What are some of the struggles that God has worked on with you?
Some of the struggles. So definitely, I say something that I always struggle with personally is my identity, and just trying to always find that in Christ and who he is and what he's done for me, instead of trying to find it in what I do or, you know, the people I hang out with or, you know, like the things around me. So coming to university, that was definitely a big struggle with identity, because this past summer, I had the amazing opportunity of working at a Christian summer camp, and it was just so amazing for my faith. Like, every single day I got to, like, tell kids about God, and I was surrounded by other, like, amazing Christians and people that I looked up to who I could, like, see God in, you know? And it was just so amazing. And I worked there for most of the summer until like basically a week before I left for university. So I finished the summer on such a God high. You know, I was like, okay, like I'm ready to go to Western, or I'm ready to go to university and, you know, tell everyone about God and be this like, you know, be who God wants me to be and be this light. And like, because I kind of knew that university isn't exactly the most holy place, you know, it's going to be pretty crazy. So like, I kind of prepared myself for that a little bit. So yeah, I was just like finished the summer, ready to go and ready to just like be that perfect Christian and then find my identity and like just keep my identity in Christ. And then, but once I got there, it was like a whole nother game. You know, it was like, I thought I was ready, but like I got there and like, I realized that I had no idea like how to keep my identity in Christ. I realized like, I thought that I was ready, you know, like being in such a amazing environment with like other supportive Christians. I thought that my faith was strong and that like I was like strength, like I was like, you know, firm in it. But then I got there to university and the culture there is just so different and the things people were doing, it's just like, I really struggled because it's like, I always want to do, you know, I always want to try to fit in or I always want to like do my best to please other people. And it was really hard for me to be like, okay, how do I be a Christian and still, you know, be like friends with these people or, you know, connect with these people while not being able to do a lot of the stuff that they're doing or, you know, living a life that's different than them. And that was something that I struggled with. And it was like, I had to make a decision. Like, do I want, like, if I'm going to commit to God, like, I need to commit to him full time and like 100%. You know, I can't be like, okay, I'm Christian, you know, when on Sundays and, you know, when I tell people I am, but then like when everyone's doing stuff that, you know, that's not Christian, like on a Saturday night, then I'm not Christian then, you know? So that's something that I like really struggle with the first couple months. And honestly, like I still kind of struggle with it right now, but I'm definitely working on it. And I know that at the end of the day, like, I know who I am, like I'm a Christian, and that's before anything else. And I think like going to university has really tested that, and it's given me like, oh, like it was basically like God saying like, okay, like you say you love me, you say you like want to be like, you know, my follower, like let's see how serious you are about that. Like, can you give up popularity or coolness or whatever, all that, you know, dumb teenager stuff to really like prove that you really like care about me? And that's something that I'm definitely battling right now, but I'm working on it. So yeah.
What sort of things did God do to help you work with it so far?
Some of the things, definitely just like having an amazing like fellowship over there. There's this thing over there called Power to Change. It's like a Christian group on campus, and just seeing like all these other university kids who really like have a heart for God and really want to worship him and just like live their lives through him, it's been such an encouragement. So that's definitely been a big one.
Awesome. So I had a phone call with Don like a month ago or so. We talked about some of these things. It was just so neat to see, because I had the similar fears working with identity and insecurity. And when he went there to the party school, Western is a party school, and Don, the party animal, is going to go there, and I had fear in my soul. And then he said something about, I don't want to party with them. I feel like an old man.
Yeah, I think I've been to like 2 parties all year. I usually go to bed by like 11 now, so, you know.
Wow. So God's been working with you, and it's been neat to see that. And there's more work to be done, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So we keep praying for you. Actually, I want to pray for you. You go back to Western still, but I want to pray for you amongst the people. And I know there's other university students that have come back. I saw Jing Jing somewhere. There she is. Also Western Canada, also a party animal. So we'll pray for them both and for all of them that have come and gone, especially Cyrus. Are there any other university students that I have missed? Yes, no. Okay, let me pray for them first. God, we thank you for Dawn, for Jing Jing, for Cyrus, and I know there's a bunch of others, but you are at work over there, and you're doing your story. We would pray, Lord, that they would be able to see you and focus on what you're doing. Find you in this time of difficulty, challenge, fast pace, perhaps something that is heavy on their soul, marks, grades, but you're going to do a work in their life. Help Don to become who you want him to be, rather than just simply about grades, but to be the man of God that you want him to be, even amongst the other people who don't know you. Grow him, we pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, man.
No problem. I would like to know, is there anyone else willing to share? I need at least three people. Here we go, Elijah. Come, stand. Wow, you're hairy.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Do you want me down here? Do you want me
anywhere
down?
You feel comfortable.
Okay. All right, three things so that I don't go off track and preach.
If you want to fit this, that's
all right.
Fine.
So we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about ministry and maybe my work. So for those who don't know me or don't recognize me, I'm Elijah. I was born and raised in this church. I'm a little hairier now. So it's our 1 year anniversary as of today. I got married here. And it's been really cool. So like this year, God has really shown me what it means to be married. And I will need prayer because the battle for bed space continues and I'm losing. She gets 90%, I get maybe 5%. The rest of it's where the blankets go. But it's been really, really good. God's been building our home. It's been really hard because between finding work for Terry and us just moving in and a whole bunch, like moving into a new city. But it was really cool because we decided to try something we've been learning in Sunday school, and that is to put our faith in God and to center our lives around God. So the simplest idea was, God, how do I fill this home? And that went down to, what fridge are we buying? What table are we buying? What chairs are we buying? It sounds so silly, but it was actually a really interesting exercise because it showed me that I spend way too much money. And it showed us as a family that what really matters here. And there's been some interesting cases of God being like, don't buy this table, wait, buy that table. And then, like, when we went and bought that table, it was like, oh, my God, this was, like, a fraction of the price of that table. But what was interesting was not so much the deal we got, but it was so much the focus that God wanted us to have in the experience of buying something. And it was that, don't worry about the brand, don't worry about the price, don't worry about where you got it from or the deal or where from Kijiji. It was actually the fact that God told us to just do something weird and different, and then all of a sudden, we still got rewarded, but the focus wasn't on the end product. The focus was God. So that was really, really cool. And so throughout our whole 365 has been just a lot of those moments of God being like, don't do that, do this. And then whenever we did listen, it was really, really good experience. What's another thing? Okay, ministry. Ministry is really cool. Me and Terry found a really good church out in Ottawa. Praise God for that. We go to a Pentecostal church. It's pretty loud. and it's live. Like, people are jumping and people are speaking in tongues. So that's a new experience for us. Also fighting to not say yes to everything. So this year, I've been a part of 4 ministries and leading, like, 3 of them. And super quick, I started a dance team there. And it was really weird how it all happened, but it happened. And it was going to be part of the worship team. And so we wanted to worship God through the art form of dance. And it was really, really interesting. It was a really stressful experience. But I guess one example of God growing me was we had a retreat. And there was a performance that me and this other person were supposed to do. And we had 48 hours to put together like a 2.5-minute thing, which is ridiculous. Like, usually it takes maybe about 20 hours to give you 2 minutes of performance time. So we did it in 7 hours. And working and doing other life things as well. So it was pretty cool. But what was interesting is so I break dance, and that's a street dance. And I like to make fun of other dance styles because they look weird to me and they're different from me. And so it was contemporary dance. And I'm always like, oh, yes, like going through hoops, you know, pretending to be like water. And God's like, hey, you're going to do contemporary for this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I've been making fun of it for the last 9 years of my life. But God's like, no, you're going to do it. It's going to be great. And it was interesting because it was the first time that I used the art form of dance truly, truly in its essence to bring people to worship. And while we were doing our piece, and it was to a song called Doxology, it's like a newer version, it was interesting because it wasn't clapping. I heard people praying, and I heard people worshiping while we were dancing. So that was a really, really cool experience. Me and Terry are now starting another ministry. So basically, we used to throw parties in our house all the time, and we would invite different people from church and from not church, and we would just have a good time and create an environment for people to evangelize naturally in the comfort of our house. And then we got asked to start another ministry where we host live music events. So we would invite two people from the church and then two people from the music community, and we would go to a cafe that we're connected with, and they would allow us to just have like five songs, 25-minute set per artist, and we would just do that. So we've been doing that, and it's basically a enhanced version of our little like house parties to now like at a cafe. I'm hosting, she's organizing, and it's really great because our worship musicians are connecting with the community's musicians on an artistic level, but also art being the medium in which we speak to one another. It allows us to be vulnerable and allows us to share the message on a deeper level. So it's not so much an academic perspective of disseminating biblical knowledge, but it was more of a, like, how have you been? I noticed in this music that you've been playing, like, what's the story there? And then they'll gush about their story. And they share their story, you share your story, and that's how it starts. Work.
We're over time. We need someone else. You want to find out? Talk to him. I want to squeeze one more person. Who is willing? One more person. One more. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. So for those who don't know me, I'm Ephraim. So, born and raised here as well, and then I left for a little while and have returned in the past 2-3 years. Dang, it's been 2-3 years. So let's see. Let's talk about this year. So this year, I've been learning a lot about the character of God. And so I think, especially as someone who's grown up in the church, it's easy for things to become very routine, right? You like, for example, just like Christmas, I found myself being like, okay, well, like, God came and became human. And it's like you hear that over and over and over, and it sort of begins to lose its meaning. And then you start to see kind of how Christians, Christians, like, we're such a broad variety of people, and you have people who are really like walking with God, but then you have some people who kind of just are in it for the rituals and kind of just the structure of it, right? And so for me, I found myself starting to feel like, oh, like kind of jaded, like scripture just wasn't enjoyable anymore. And like sometimes you see the actions of like fellow Christians and you're like, is that what we are? And it was cool because God really just reminded me of his character, right? And like reading about the early church, how the people met every day, and like they sold everything that they owned to give to others, right? Or to give to each other within the community. And it was like, God's character is so much greater than your environment. It's greater than what you're surrounded by, and like whatever your actions are, don't define you as a Christian. You are a Christian because you accepted Jesus and God has died for you, right? And so it's like this grace that you don't have to act a certain way, right? But like that God encompasses everything. And I think that was a really cool breakthrough because it's seeing, just as a cool example, I was fasting, and like this is like a super new thing for me. So fasting is a time where you abstain from eating so you can be closer to God. And for me, I was fasting, and someone actually asked me about it at work, so it was kind of cool. I got to like share, I got to share a little bit, and it was really interesting because they were asking me like, why are you fasting? And I got to explain to them that like fasting was not because my religion told me to. It's because I wanted to put away the pleasures of eating, and like, you know, you don't eat, you're low on energy, you're tired, I can't even have coffee, right? And it's like, but you can rely on God that he would provide for that day. And that's just something new to it, right? And it was really cool that how I explained it. And then they're like, oh, is there a specific time, like from like 8 to 4 or something? And I was saying like, and then like, I was about to say like, oh, like you go from sunrise to sunset. But in that moment, God was telling me, like, he really showed me his heart. It's not about, God doesn't care, like, what time. Like, if you, you know, if you start eating, like, an hour earlier, then you blasphemed. It's not like that. It's like your heart of how you want to fast, how much you're willing to give up, how much you're willing to, like, keep being hungry so you can keep, like, chewing on his word in your mind. And, like, how, like, because if I just wanted to break my fast, and eat and like be grumpy to God, then it's like, it's better if I didn't fast at all. So like that's been really cool this year, learning like the heart of God behind all these things, right? Behind worship. And it was really cool. I was reading, I think it was Colossians 11:16, I'm almost done. And it was just saying like, we are made through God for God, right? And it's like what we do for him is like, he takes pleasure in it too. So that's what I learned this year. It's really cool.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Awesome. This is the kind of stuff I want to see. I can't shut you up. I want to see people being able to share their faith and their story with each other. I want to close with a benediction. Will you rise with me? I'm going to read to you Hebrews 12 from the NIV, which may be more familiar. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let me pray for us. God, this year comes to a close. This is the last Sunday service of this decade, 2019, 2010 to 2019. But we pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged and inspired to live differently. And we would see you and what you've done in the past 10 years so we can see you in the next 10 as well. Help us, Lord, to keep sharing our stories for you to be glorified, for us to respond in worship and build the church. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Thank you for coming. See you next year.